Hey, welcome to Praying the Psalms, the podcast from Doxa Church in Madison, Wisconsin. As the church finds itself isolated from one another physically, we are reading, studying, and praying the Psalms as a way to join ourselves together spiritually. We want to slow down, get a bigger picture of God, a clear picture of ourselves, but most of all, we're trying to join ourselves together around the throne of the one who's joined himself to us. This is Jesus. And if you haven't already, pull out a Bible, and actually spend some time kind of on your own, just reading through and even kind of studying Psalm 138. And this is how Psalm 138 goes. We're told at the beginning, this is a psalm of David, and this is what it says. It says, "I give thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple. I give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increase. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly. But the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." This psalm is so awesome, and there's so much we could talk about, but I spent most of my time thinking about the first two lines. And this is what it says. It says, "I give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. And before the gods, I sing your praise." One of the things we've been learning over this journey through the Psalms is that the Psalms can simultaneously be a few things, right? They can be a song and a prayer and a reflection of our hearts kind of in the moment. It can kind of give us words to say that seem to kind of fit our moment perfectly, that kind of fit our heart perfectly. But it can also be a song and a prayer that helps to reshape our hearts. Words that as we put them on our lips and kind of in our minds, they help to train our hearts and form them into the right kind of shape. And I think for me, the beginning lines of the psalm feel like that. Right? He talks about something that happens inside of him, but also something that happens outside of him. And the more I've thought about this, I don't think that you can have one with the other, right? The shape of the heart of the psalmist is what determines the shape of his life. And this is what he says about his heart. He says, "I give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart." And the Bible uses this kind of phrase a lot, right? It talks about not just a part of our heart or an area of our heart, but it talks about all of us, the whole of us, our whole heart. And so the question I'm just asking this morning is, today, like right now, does God have my whole heart? Does he have your whole heart? And that's a really hard question to answer, especially if we want the answer to be yes. But then he goes on and he describes the shape of his life. And he says, "Before the gods, I sing your praise." And what does this mean? Well, the gods here is like a little g gods. It's meant to be like the idols and kind of the gods of culture. And so he's saying, "I give thanks with my whole heart and I will sing praise before the gods," kind of in this like kind of public way. And I think the psalmist is saying that his worship and praise of God is not something that exists within his heart and only the quiet spaces of his life, but it is something that takes place in the public sphere and the world around him. And I don't think he's saying like he goes into the other temples, right? And he starts, you know, he stands before the idol and he starts to sing songs to the real God in there in kind of this, you know, really disruptive way. I don't think that's quite what he's saying, but I think what he's doing is he's recognizing that our world is always engaged in worship of some kind. And our praises should take place before the gods in public, in the marketplace and public arena. The reason our praises should take place there as well is because that is where the worship songs of the rest of the world take place. And the world is not shy about what it worships and why. But if we're honest, oftentimes we as Christians are shy about who we worship and why. And so I've been asking this question, what is the shape of my heart? Is it one that gives thanks? Am I someone who is giving thanks with my whole heart? And this morning, I've been kind of recognizing that I don't know if that's actually true of my heart this morning. And so I've been praying that God would give me that kind of heart. And I've been even praying through the words of the psalm, just kind of like looking at the faithfulness of God and kind of letting this psalm itself shape my heart to be one that actually is completely and wholly thankful that my God is Yahweh, not these other gods. But I have a God who actually sees and hears me when I pray to him. But I'm also asking, what is the shape of my life? Are the praises in the songs and prayers of worship something that I'm proclaiming kind of in my basement in the morning, you know, with my Bible open, or even on Sunday morning with the rest of the saints? Or is it something that as the rest of culture lifts its voice to worship their God, my songs of praise for my God, the true God, are kind of entering into that and actually rising above the rest? And as I've been reading this psalm this morning, there's been a boldness and excitement that started to grow in my heart. Because I've come to this conclusion, as I just think about my life and the situation I'm in, I want the worship of God, the true God. I want the worship of God to be the loudest worship that happens in our neighborhood. I don't want the loudest worship in our neighborhood to be for some political candidate or ideology of this is what's going to redeem us and save our land. I don't want the loudest worship songs that happen in our neighborhood to be for a sports team. I want the loudest worship in our neighborhood to be worship of the true God. And those are the songs that my family and I can sing. And so this doesn't mean we literally get out on our front porch and we just start singing worship songs in the morning, but it means that we are living such a life. There is this visible presentation of worship of our God in such a way that the other gods in our neighborhood, they can hear and they know that we don't worship them, but we worship the true God. Right? The reason we want our worship songs, our lives, this public display of worship to be loud and public is not to shame the other people, but it is actually to shame their gods. Because while the idols of culture will chew you up and spit you out, we serve a God who has steadfast love and faithfulness, and his word and his name is exalted above all things. Right? The world is filled with gods who can't deliver on any of their promises, but ours always does, because we have a God who hears us when we call to him. We have a God who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who in the end of the story, every single king of the world will be singing of the way of the Lord. We have a God who, though he is high, he regards the lowly. And though we walk in the midst of trouble, he preserves our life, who stretches out his hand against our enemies, who uses his own right hand to deliver us, who has purposes for our life, intentions that he will accomplish in us, who has steadfast love for us that endures forever. The world worships what they make with their own hands. And then they turn to these idols and they look to them for salvation and redemption and meaning and purpose and hope and joy. But we pray to the God who's formed us with his own hands. And our prayer to him is very simple. It's just the very last line. We just pray that he would not forsake the work of his hands, but merely would finish what he started. Our praises should be loud and public, and our love of God, our praise of him, our thankfulness that we have him in our lives as our creator, as our redeemer, that should not be something that takes place in the quiet spaces of our life alone, but that should be something that all the other gods of culture take notice of, because it is public. And when we do that, not only will we shame these false gods of culture, but the people in our neighborhood and people in our workplaces, the people in our families, they will see that our God is better than theirs. And just maybe they will choose him for themselves as well. Let's pray. Father God, we love that you are a redeemer. We love that when we pray, you hear us. And that God, even though you are high and we are low, you hear the sound of our voice. That even right now as we pray, your ears are tuned to the sound of our voice. And so God, we say thank you that you are not like the gods of culture. Thank you that we do not have to bang on the door of heaven over and over again and wonder if you are asleep, but we know that you are our Redeemer. We know that you will save us. We know that you have steadfast love that endures forever. We know you have purpose for us that you will accomplish. We know that your right hand is strong to deliver us. And so this morning, God, fill our hearts completely with thankfulness. And would those praises that are welling up inside of us, would those spill out into the whole rest of the world? In your name, amen.